We know hunting for good coffee can be frustrating and time-consuming. And with all the confusing labels out there, it's hard to know that what you are buying is actually mindfully sourced and truly making a difference in people's lives. That's why we put together our Perpetual Joy coffee subscription. Over the last 15 years, Joe Bean Coffee has built friendships with award-winning coffee farmers, ones we trust to consistently bring us amazing coffee year after year. Coffee tastes best at the peak of harvest, which is why we run our program like a CSA, regularly sending you a rotating selection of in-season coffee. You pick how many bags and how often you need it. We do the rest. And you can feel good knowing you're directly supporting small-scale coffee farmers. Go to JoeBeanRoasters.com for details.
Hello and welcome to Nights and Weekends. This week we are doing a very special series of Lilac Festival focused episodes. Today is part one of those episodes and we are lucky enough to have Dave Drago here, who is the owner and producer of 1809 Studios, but also the Lilac Festival center stage producer and talent buyer. So hi Dave, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on today. We're really excited for Lilac Festival this year for a few reasons. And we wanted to have you on today to talk about, you know, local talent and really bringing in the Rochester local artists, because you've done such a great job of that in this year. And just wanted to talk to you about that and, you know, see the direction of the festival and what you're doing. So, so before we get into that, how did you get involved with the Lilac Festival?
I mean, I've been in the music industry in a lot of different capacities for over 20 years. And most of those years have been in Rochester. I had been general managing a venue on Cuco Lake with the ownership for a number of years. And then kind of like, you know, pulled myself away from the live music industry and was like, you know, I'm gonna go back in the studio, and I teach too, and was like, cool, I think I'm gonna be happy there. And you know, some of my acquaintances from that world knew that Jenny Lamaglio, who runs the production company that has the Lilac Festival contract, and this is the first year that she's had it in full. Last year she co-promoted it with another promoter. They were like, my two friends were like, you should talk to Jenny. And I was like, I don't want to talk to Jenny. And they were like, you should talk to Jenny because you would be great for the festival. And I was like, I don't want to do the festival. I don't want to do any more live music. I don't want to do that anymore. And so I went and had coffee with Jenny and we just got on really well. You know, I went in there and was like, look, I don't think I'm going to be a good fit for this job. I don't want to book a lot of cover bands. It's like not my impulse to want to work with a lot of tribute bands. And, you know, I understand the time and place for that kind of stuff. But I was like, you know, if this were my place to do things, like, it's an important stage. It's a stage that gives a lot of exposure to any artists on there. And so I feel like it would be my job to make sure that that exposure was going to people who were underexposed, A, and B, create original art. Because if you went to the art show at the Lilac Festival and there you saw a street lined with 8x8 easy up tents and there was, you know, Monet's in one, someone's Degas, and like people just painting other people's paintings, you go, this art show is weird. And also we have just way too much original talent like spilling over in this town. So like, let's get it going. And again, like no dig on the cover bands or the tribute bands, but they get a lot of good gigs, you know, they get the good high paying gigs. And so it's not like this is fundamentally interrupting their business opportunity to like make money and, you know, do what they got to do. If anything, what this does is it gives people who normally wouldn't get paid well, who normally wouldn't get to play on a stage, have a monitor engineer and a front of house engineer and stage hands and a stage manager and people that care about them and putting them on a big stage. I don't know, just felt like a great opportunity to do that. Anyway, I kind of said that in a fewer words with Jenny. She goes, I like that idea. That's exactly what I would want to do. This is great. And I was like, oh, And then it was like a little like stepbrothers moment. It was like, did we just become best friends? And then, you know, we spent the next 2 hours just talking and talking and talking about anything and everything. And just, it's just a great, great combination. She has just as much of a care for taking care of our local artisans as I do. And that's like a pretty refreshing thing to see in any market, and especially in Rochester.
Definitely. I think because one of the biggest things too is like we have all of these festivals, all of these really big moments, and then you see the lineups mm-hmm. and you're like, well, I don't know this band, or they're a cover band. And again, like we've talked about this in past mm-hmm. shows. There's nothing wrong with that.
I have listened to this conversation happen on this show before.
Where I quote
every time I'm like, I got something to say.
Yeah, my quote is the Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra is a cover band.
That's right.
But yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. And I think like obviously it gets the crowd going whenever you hear a song that you know and you're walking through the festival. But at the same time, when you are from a city that has this type of scene and this type of talent and these music schools here, mm-hmm. and then you don't see them on stage and it doesn't translate to that.
And
you know?
Ultimately, I think that's insulting to audiences too. Like, and you know, we've all done it to ourselves. Like I like Netflix more than going places most of the time too. Like I understand that, but you know, the Lilac Festival does have a bit of a built-in thing going on, and we do have that advantage there. It's a staple, and there's nothing else going on in Rochester in May. You know, like this, it's the first festival of the festival season because of the flowers. If anyone was like, hey, when should you have a music festival in Rochester? I'd be like, any time but May. But because the festival exists around the blooming of those flowers, we do it and we make it happen. And so it's an institution. So like it's even more of an opportunity to bring music to somebody's life that wasn't there before.
Yeah, definitely. It's and we talk a lot about too, about getting people on the stage and getting that experience, that professional experience. Mm-hmm. How did you go about choosing the bands this year that you chose?
Yeah, so last year was similar to this year. The one tough thing is that just based on the history of the festival, and I remember this, you know, not many years ago, but when I was working with artists or like playing with artists and stuff, we'd be like, let's apply to play at the Lilac Festival. And then like, you just never hear anything back. Maybe you even send a follow-up email. It was like nobody was there. And so I think, unfortunately, like the original music scene in Rochester is pretty like primed to just not even apply. They're like, why would I? And so what I had to do last year and this year too is just find networks. Like I had to go and do this stuff myself. And we did get some great artists that applied for sure, but not a lot. A lot of it is just, I've been producing records in this town for 15 years and, you know, I'm from here and like, you know, and grew up in the suburbs and like, I know a lot of people. I graduated from high school with a really big graduating class and like in Fairport. And there's a lot of people who make music in Rochester who went to Fairport. So, you know, it was just like reaching out to my people and being like, what don't I know about? Like, what, please tell me. And my whole thing is like, if a band will make somebody dance, then that's a good band. And that's a band that someone might walk down the hill on their way to going to get a turkey leg and be like, stop for a minute. Be like, I don't know what this is, but it's very cool. So
Yeah. I think it's I didn't know you could apply, honestly. Mm-hmm. Yes. And being a musician in Rochester, I had no clue.
Yep.
And I think just bringing more visibility to that. And, you know, also just in passing in conversations, I've also heard that you are actually paying and compensating these artists incredibly well this year as opposed to previous years. And that's another, you know, topic that's really tough when you're a local musician who mm-hmm. just wants exposure, and then sometimes you get taken advantage of for your talent. So it's, you know, it's just like that approach as well is just really, really nice to hear.
I hate that word. I've been managing artists. I've been in all sorts of capacities in this business for 20 years. And when someone starts to utter the E word, exposure. Don't you want to do this for exposure? I mean, I'm like old now, but I'm just kind of like, you stop, just stop right now. Like that's, you know, I wish we could pay them, the artists, more, honestly. But, and again, like Jenny is a lot to do with that too. It's like, she was completely open to like opening that budget up a little bit more to make sure our local original artists were compensated appropriately, or as appropriately as we were capable of paying them, because it's a free festival and there's a pretty limited budget and we do what we can with what we got, and we'll find out this year if it worked or not.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. And it's just, you know, you work with what you have, and that's better than getting like you said, exposure and $25.
Yeah.
What artist highlights should we go see? Who are you excited about?
I'm excited about literally every artist, and I'm not trying to be a politician with that, but like I have a relationship, like an emotional relationship to every band we book because I like it. And I'm, you know, I'm not a very genre specific person personally. I may have those, I've had those moments in my life, but I don't know. I think every band, to me, authenticity matters. The older I get, the more you can kind of like hear what someone's motivations are to be singing that song or playing their guitar or playing those drums or whatever. And I try to be attracted to authenticity. I think you can really hear that. And so ultimately, like all the artists that we book are great. And you know, our lineup's at rocklilacfest.com. So if you want to check that out, but to answer your question more specifically after I've just said my politician thing, I was so excited when I was talent, because I get the national artists first, you know, we work everything around that world. And there was a point at which when I was talent buying and working with some national agencies, that one of the Wasserman agents just started pushing me or pitching me like some like indie rock bands that I was like, oh, these are like indie rock bands with big streams and also like are like quote unquote like family friendly, I guess. Like they're not screaming at anyone. Like their brand of sort of edginess is like within a realm that works for like a very free, like very, you know, a festival that we need to be very conscious that we're not like upsetting people. And so we were fortunate enough, like specifically like Beach Weather and the Aces. And because of those two bookings, I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited because Rochester has so much stuff in that indie rock genre, you know, like incredible power pop bands and like, you know, pop driven, like quirky indie rock and stuff like that. And there's just so much of it here that I was so excited that I was like, cool, like there's a context for our local artists. I can plug them in now. And not all on the same day. Like, I don't really like doing that. I don't like being like, oh, well, Saturday is going to be indie rock day and, you know, Sunday is going to be whatever day. Like, I actually like to mix it all up as much as I possibly can. But I was so excited to have the opportunity to like book bands like Pluck and All Them Squares and Ready Hollow and like bands that I think just from a programming standpoint, someone might be like, no, we can't do that. Like, what are we going to do? Like, put them before Blues Traveler? Like, I don't know. And so that really opened it up to being able to do that.
Yeah, it's great. And actually, we do have Coral Moons on the show next week.
Oh, fantastic. They have been really fun to work with. I met one of the members of that band at our press conference like a month and a half ago. And he came in a little late. And then we just chatted for like 10 minutes. And they're just such nice people. And such a cool story, too. Like, what brought them back up to upstate New York from Boston. And, you know, the success that they had in Boston and like building themselves and stuff like that, and that they're right in our backyard in Canandaigua, it's such a cool thing. So I found out about that one pretty late, to be honest with you. And when I did, I was like, what? You're kidding me. Oh my God, this is great. They got open for Beach Weather. I was like, this is going to be so cool. So.
Okay, and welcome back. We are here with Dave Drago, who is the owner and producer of 1809 Studios and is also doing most of the booking for the Lilac Festival this year. We just talked a lot about the Lilac Festival and all the amazing work he's doing there, but also wanted to just talk to you about your studio and, you know, how you started that and your life in Rochester as a musician or booking musicians. So, yeah, could you give us a scoop there?
Yeah, it's the story of a young man with ADHD, probably. Yeah. It's like, yeah. So I don't know. I went to college after high school and dropped out after 3 weeks and took a year off and enrolled at FLCC in the recording program and got my associates there. And, you know, I wasn't there for very long, maybe a couple of weeks really, where I was just like, I think I'm going to need some help learning in an environment like this. And so a friend of mine and I were like, let's open a recording studio then. Why not? So we rented a house in Canandaigua with extra bedrooms, and we opened a recording studio. And back in that time, this was like 2002, there weren't a lot of studio options for like punk and hardcore bands, which was like the scene that we were hanging with, and I had a ton of friends in those music scenes and stuff like that. You know, connection to your partner too, through like Polar Bear Club and all that stuff.
Yeah.
We recorded like Rochester's punk, hardcore, indie, emo bands for 2 years, and we were crazy busy, and it was so much fun. And you know, we started out just being like, look, you know, we'll do like a couple records for free for our friends, because if they come out bad, then we don't have to feel bad. And you know, we were like, okay, they sounded a little all right. And the bands liked them too, because they weren't like slathered in reverb, they weren't slicked up, you know, it was just like raw punk rock recordings, and it was exactly what you would want to hear in that genre anyway. So our level of ability and everything else, it all just lined up really well. And so we did that for 2 years, and it was really great. And you know, an opportunity, we were like, hey, should we like double down on this now that we're out of school? Should we like move into a different space? And we decided to like kind of like move into other, not leave the music industry, but move, like get out of Rochester, you know, go see something. I was 22 years old. So I moved to Colorado and got some business degrees while I was out there, and did a lot of bike riding and a lot of snowboarding, and had a mobile rig recording thing I did every once in a while, and you know, kind of stepped away for a couple of years while I finished my undergrad, and then moved out to LA after that. And while I was in LA, I started managing artists, and that turned into tour managing, and then I always knew I was going to come back to Rochester. I always knew, like, being in LA was cool, and I enjoyed my time there, like, a lot. I met my wife there. It was great. But it was too expensive to be a creative in that town. It just didn't feel, like, that DIY mindset was, like, kind of, like, crushed by that place in a lot of ways. And so I always knew I was going to come back to Rochester. So, like, I think it was, 14 years ago now, my wife and I moved back to Rochester. We bought a 200-year-old tavern on the Erie Canal in Macedon, and we paid like no money for it. It was all jacked up when we bought it. And then I was working like a full-time job in like some regular, you know, $18 an hour cubicle land, and would come home every night and like work on the first floor. And we turned that into an 1800 square foot live-in recording studio. Floated all the walls and ceilings, did it right, and then we still live above it. And I have 2 kids now, too. So we live on the second floor, and I have clients on the first floor and live right above my studio. It's really, really cool.
So, that sounds like a dream.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Sometimes it feels weird because sometimes it's too close. You know, it's like the kids keep coming down here and like touching stuff while I'm trying to mix a record or something like that. But I think that's also part of the fun. So like my clients all know my kids, they know my dog. Like I have like one rule of thumb in most business, and especially in producing records and creating production relationships with artists. It's like, don't work with anybody you would invite to one of the kids' birthday parties. And as long as I like stick to that, like everything works out just fine. So
that's a crazy role, but it like makes so much sense.
So much sense. I want to make family. Yeah. You know, I want to build community. I want friends. It's everyone always says it's like really hard for adults to make friends. And it's like, I make new friends all the time because of band, like working on records, and like the best relationships I have are working relationships. And I don't say that in some way where they're like shallow because of that. It's like the work that I do and the work that you guys do when you do music and stuff is very emotional and it's very vulnerable.
Yeah.
So in fact, you can fast track a very real, authentic, emotional relationship with somebody just by making art with them. And you know, stuff that you might not know about somebody's past or why they are the way that they are might not come out for years, but you find out pretty quick when you have to record their vocals, you know. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's such a good point too, because we were talking about, you know, on the show before about, you know, what if someone wants to meet new friends, get into seeing music, and it's intimidating, but at the end of the day, everybody wants to welcome you. Everybody wants that connection, because we're all here just trying to live our best lives and trying to, as adults, it's sometimes difficult. And I think like the past 30 years of my life have been making, my friends have all been music people. And it's just like, you don't lose those people. They're your family. And it's really important. And it's what we're doing here with the sound. I know that sounds exactly with what you're doing with your studio. And it's important to reinforce that.
Yeah. And it can be hard. Like, they do tend to be the best relationships, because there is a level of difficulty, a level of existential confusion that goes into being attracted to playing music.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, those relationships can really, they can float for a long time, you know, because it's it's a like-minded person. So, yeah, we're all kind of like bitten by the same creature or something like that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I know that's that creature.
It's me now.
It's so true. Well, you know, you're talking about living in other cities, and the music scene not as accessible or not as DIY. Do you feel that, you know, and you've seen Rochester from the beginning, and now you're back here as an adult. What's the difference? Is there a difference?
I think we have more bands in this town than I think people can possibly realize. I've heard you guys talk about that on this show. But what we don't have is a lot of like commerce-based output for that art. I honestly think there are other cities that are the same size as Rochester that actually do a much better job of this than we do. We just don't have the commerce to back us up in a lot of ways. But what crops up because of that is profound. You know, the art spaces that we have, the house show scene. Like, I'm watching like DIY ethics that I grew up on in middle school and high school. You know, no one wants to put me in a magazine. Great, let's make a zine. We'll do it on the copier at my dad's work. You know, like, no one wants to book my show. Great, let's book a show at the Fairport Teen Center, because I go to the Teen Center in the afternoon and the people there like me and they're nice. And then the Fairport Teen Center, which I lived like across the street from, became like a hardcore enclave in the 90s. It was insane. The lodge scene that Rochester had in the 90s, and you know, you could book a VFW hall for $70, you could book a park lodge for $25, and national bands would come to Rochester and play at those shows. And I feel like that's happening again. I feel like people are, the best thing that can happen for some people is like to have no opportunities and to just go, well, great, well, I'm gonna figure out how to do something anyway. And then you create these spaces that are unlike anything else, and it's like, I don't want to go to a traditional venue most of the time. I work in this business, I call that stuff a cattle call most of the time, you know. I don't want to be a part of that, but like a house show sounds awesome, you know, like something at a lodge, like where there's a barbecue, and like someone put charcoal on there, like you could bring something to put on the grill if you wanted. Like, I love that stuff. I feel like that's coming back. There is a generation of people that have been really, really good at like really leaning back in. Probably it's the most burnt by social media generation, probably, who they're just like, you know what, let's get back to basics here. Let's try and do something ourselves. I think it's a really cool thing to see in Rochester.
Yeah, it kind of gave me goosebumps with just talking about that, because it's true. It's like, when you don't have something, people will start to build that thing. And I think it's truly happening. We might not have like the biggest, most refined venues and big touring bands might not always stop here, but we're kind of making that our own. And we're seeing, like you said, all these DIY venues pop up. We see people doing things, like even like me doing this show is like the scrappiest thing ever, but it's like, it's important to start doing the thing so you can empower people, raise our city up, and build on those. So setting the foundation is the first part of that.
I think this is such a valuable thing. I think about the Lilac stage like this, where, and I said this a ton of times to my colleagues, where they're like, why do you care about this so much? I mean, they know why I care about it. They don't ask me that. I'm just giving them this information without them asking for it. But I believe, like, it's too easy to quit doing this. It's too easy to stop, especially when you have like a decent day job that you like and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And you're like, oh, your best friend or you're in the band with moved or they had a baby or whatever. Like, we're at that. I'm deeply into that age. I'm not just getting there. I'm 42 years old. It's been going on for me for almost 15 years. But like one big festival show, even if there's only like 100 people in there, just to get that stage experience, that can put the wind under a band's sails to last another year. Someone like you guys who cares enough to invite a band here to talk to them like they're important because they are, that can put the wind in people's sails to make them last another year. And if all we're doing is just sort of like trying to, you know, just one more year, one more year, one more year, you just never know what's going to happen. So I think these things are profoundly valuable and legitimize our music scene. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the biggest part of it. It's like, I personally moved here for the music scene because I didn't know what it was and mm-hmm. I didn't know. And it's so good. It's so good. There's so much happening. And it's like, and now there are people that are doing the real work. People like you that are giving, you know, visibility to these bands that are working their butts off. And now you're giving them this stage and they get the opportunity to feel amazing being up there, play to people that would have never have heard them. And it's incredible. So thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I love being showered in praise, but I honestly, it's too easy to do it. That's what people don't understand. I remember having a conversation with someone from like sort of the old guard, when I took the project over, and I realized pretty quickly, you know, like, I just assumed that maybe, like, the people who pick things in this town, like, heard us and didn't like what they heard, so they were ignoring us. But what I found out very quickly, and it actually, like, gave me an ability to give a little more grace to people, or the predecessors of some of this real estate, you know, that younger folks like us are starting to take over and stuff like that. Someone said to me once from the old guard, I understand that you want to book a bunch of local original bands, but I don't think there's enough local original bands to fill the amount of slots that exist at the Lilac Festival. And you're making the exact face that everybody who understands makes. That is such a preposterous thing to say. It took me like an hour to get over it, to be like, what is going on? I was infuriated. But then I took a breath and I was like, oh, they just don't know. You know, like, that's the problem. It's not that they're actively, you know, trying to not do this. They just don't know. The places that they patronize recreationally, they have tribute bands and cover bands playing. There's a singer-songwriter in the corner. There's a blues band. You know, that's the time and place for that place. Those are the places that they patronize. They don't go to the Bug Jar to see their friend, you know? Mm-hmm. So they just don't know. And like, I don't know. I mean, I guess in a certain way, like, I can put some responsibility on that for that fault. But also, it did make me feel a little better, because I was like, oh, well, I think I know a little bit about this.
Yeah.
And so we booked an entire festival last year with local original artists. And then I made the decision this year for no repeats, mm-hmm. just to like double down, to be like, this is, and we still could do that next year if we wanted to. Now I've got bands chomping at the bit who played last year who were kind enough to be like, we get what you're doing, Dave. It's really sweet, but seriously, can't we play? I was like, come on. But most people were really cool about it because they got it. They were like, that's kind of awesome, Dave. I know I'm not playing, but that's kind of awesome that you care about that. But then I'm having this conversation. I was on the shortwave Latin radio station last night. Mm-hmm. I communicate with members, like pillars of the gospel community and the gospel music community. We had a gospel choir play last year. Wow. It was like the first time that's ever happened. All women's gospel choir that has existed in Rochester for decades. Has never been asked to play. When I hit them up, they were so suspicious of my motivations that, and I could tell really quickly that I was like, when you rehearse, I will come to your practice. And I went down to Cornhill and I went to their rehearsal and they just grilled me for 20 minutes, a room full of like powerful, wonderful African-American women. And they're like, and they were ready to do it. And I was able to answer all their questions and be like, no, I really care. That it's too easy to do it. The gospel scene in Rochester is world-class. The Latin music community in this town is world-class. The Indian music community is world-class. It's too easy to book these bands. There's more of them than I can handle.
Yeah.
So, you know, although I enjoy being the person that, like, finally gets to make the big change or be a part of that, it's actually too easy to do. And so I give all the credit to the city of Rochester and the people who make music here, because you're doing all the work. You're making me look good. You're making it so that I get a compliment from you. You know, if we didn't have these great artists, I would look like an idiot. You know, so, yeah, I'd be calling people in Buffalo.
Well, it's quite a compliment to Rochester artists. And yeah, it's amazing. And what you're doing and raising people up is wonderful work. So thank you for all of that. And Virginia's going to ask you the last question that we ask every guest on our show today.
All right, Dave, chiming in now. Let's see. So who are you listening to right now?
I knew that this was coming. I have like, my memory is like slipping. Like I can't remember words. Like that's where my head's at this point in my life. And I'm actually like literally forgetting the second band that I was like, make sure you say that band. And these people are my very close friends. This is weird it is to be 40, in your 40s. But definitely Public Water Supply. Like I'm really lucky to be working on a single with them. I think we're going to be working on an LP soon this summer. My good buddies who are, I cannot believe my brain is malfunctioning, former Total Yuppies. I've made 3 records with Jake Walsh, 4 records with Jake Walsh. Big Nobody.
Yeah.
You know, like, I love those guys. I love that band. I love Jake Walsh's songwriting. I met him when he was 19 years old and I was like almost 30. I was just like, why is this kid so good at stuff? Like, he's such a great songwriter, and I don't know. He's got a pop sensibility and he puts an edge on it, and I just think it's really, really brilliant. And so I love that band, and I know as well.
Yeah, those are both amazing bands. My band has played with Big Nobody before and it's been amazing. So yeah, definitely. So how can people find you if they want to record with you, if they want to get in touch, where can they find you?
My studio is called 1809 Studios and it's 1809studios.com. It's out in Macedon, so it's about a 20-minute drive from the city. You know, a nice little respite out in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by cow pastures and horses, and not my horses, luckily. It's a really nice place on the canal. And then for like Lilac Fest information, if you want to see like full lineup, that's at rocklilacfest.com. The full lineup's up there. I mean, like, you don't have to go on that website. You can just show up to the Lilac Festival. And I try to make it my mission that whatever you happen upon there, I defy you not to dance, you know, or something, you know, like, you know, you might find your new favorite band. So if there's one thing you want to see, go early then, because the band's before it. It could be your next favorite band.
That's our mantra at The Sound, is just show up, mm-hmm. get to the gig, go see someone you don't even know, you've never heard of,
yes.
Right?
And for those people like me, like, I don't love going to venue shows. I don't like going to big festivals personally. I mean, I'll go to them, but like, it's not like my first choice of entertainment. But what I love about the Lilac Festival, it's like, feeling a little overwhelmed? Great. Go over there and like smell flowers. Walk right across the street and go do that beautiful walk up the hill up to the reservoir. Like, it's such a choose your own adventure kind of a thing. There's so many different kinds of food. There's so much cool stuff to do there that, like, that's my kind of festival, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, watch the music, we don't. There's like all these other things to do, and then come back later, you know, whatever. So I love it for that.
Yeah, you're going to have a good time no matter what, mm-hmm. and it's going to be worth your while. So yeah, and this year even better because of all the amazing bands. So we will have all of the Lilac Festival information on the soundrochester.com as well. And on our Instagram, we'll link out to the official festival website. And yeah, get out there, go see a band this year. It's going to be a lot of fun. Dave, thank you so much for being on the show. We are so happy to have you in the city and doing all this amazing work for local music community.
Same. Thank you.
All righty. Well, until next time. Thanks.